Welcome to The Debrief Show, the show for leaders who want to bring out the best in themselves, their teams, and their communications. I'm Dee Clayton, your host and multi-award-winning leadership coach and communication fanatic. My special guest on today's show is an organizational development expert and two times author, Dr. Gwen Sterling Wilkie. We'll be asking, does hybrid working work? And discover how to create effective ways of working remotely, how leaders need to shift their mindset and maybe even get it wrong to achieve more success. Welcome, Dr. Gwen. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks, Dee. And it's great to be joining you this morning.
Thank you. So we were talking about this the other day, weren't we? We met nearly 2 decades ago, which makes me sound really old. So we must have been, what, in nursery when we met, I feel.
Of course.
So we should have a shared passion of or a shared grounding in NLP. So you know a lot about NLP and find it useful in everyday life.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think I first was introduced to NLP. It must be coming on for 30 years ago. So that makes me now feel really old.
Before you were born. Excellent.
Before I was born, indeed.
And you were running your own business long before I was. And I remember all those years ago, I was sort of thinking about, can I leave my corporate gig? I think I was working in marketing for Sodexo at the time. And I was thinking about setting up my own business. And you were one of my supporters. And I remember you being really supportive and giving me some encouragement and making me feel that it wasn't quite as scary as I had imagined in my head. So thank you. I still remember exactly what you wrote and what you how you helped me with that. So thank you very much for that. I really appreciate that. So I can only imagine how much help you are with your clients. If that's what you do for people you've just met, then I imagine you must add massive value to your clients. And in fact, I know you do. So tell us a bit about what you're passionate about, your area of expertise.
Yeah, I think in a nutshell, I'm passionate about people having really good experiences at work. And so that has informed the work I have done. I've probably all the way through my career, when I was, you know, working in a corporate career, and then since I've run my own business. So that can range from anything from helping a senior leadership team set their strategy and then go, how do we bring that strategy to life in our organizations? What does it mean for other leaders and managers? What does it mean for teams? And over the last 5 years, you know, our lives were turned upside down at the beginning of the pandemic. But that for me really started a fascination about what is changing in our patterns of working, how we go about doing our work, and the influence of technology on that, how we manage this. Are we all in the office together? Are we all remote? When do we come together? And that topic has really captured my imagination.
Yeah.
You know, over the last 5 years.
I remember actually during the COVID, we kind of regrouped a bit then, didn't we? Over the COVID thing and over the, hey, we've got to do all this by Zoom now. What's going on? And so that really set you off on a path of finding out more about, I guess you could see the trend and what was going to happen.
Yes.
Or you wanted to learn more about that trend. And you've written a couple of books on this now as well, haven't you?
I have. So I wrote a book right at the beginning of the pandemic, which was, as you said, when we were all working out, how do we do our work on Zoom? So that was the first book I wrote, which is From Physical Place to Virtual Space, this one here.
Brilliant.
And then a couple of years ago, I then wrote a second book, which is Omniworking, which is this one here. Let me bring that into camera. And this really is a framework guide for leaders and managers to work out, how do we create the right environment when we are balancing different teams, working in different places, when we may not all be in the office together? What does that mean? What does that mean for how we work as a team? What does that mean for the strategy and the workplace experience that we set if we're senior leaders and responsible for making those kinds of decisions? And how does it affect employee engagement? How does it affect our recruitment and retention of the talented people that we need to succeed as a business? When do we make policy and when do we mandate something? And when do we give some kind of freedom and flexibility in a framework? So that really captured my imagination. And then as
yes, you know, people are still struggling with that, aren't they? So I think for COVID, they got to a point where, right, there's an emergency solution. We're going to do that. Then we came out of COVID and they said, right, we're going to do this. And now there's like this, oh, we're going to work this many days a week in the office or whatever. But I think are you finding that people are still struggling with this?
They are. And, you know, this is the biggest experiment in how work is changing that we've ever had, almost since the Industrial Revolution. And we all went into this sort of 9 to 5, Monday to Friday working environment. You know, we are completely reimagining and experimenting. And there's some fabulous experiments being done all over the world. But there isn't one straightforward answer that we can say all organizations need to do that, because there are so many conditions and constraints and considerations depending on the kind of organization you are, the sector you're in, how many locations you work across. So it makes it much more complex. It makes it much more complicated. And I find that that's what organizations and leaders and managers are struggling with.
Yeah. And I guess the reason for getting you on the show, thank you for joining us, is because you're an expert at this. I know we've only got, you know, half an hour. It's called the debrief. It's just a quick overview. My aim is to get you as an expert to just provoke some thought with the listeners to help them think about some things, maybe even improve one or two little things, and then they can find out more about it as we go forward. I must say we're pre-recording this because we just couldn't find a Friday slot in the diary. So you're so busy, but I really appreciate it. So we are pre-recording this, but if people have questions for you, please do pop them in the comments box anyway, as this is going live. So this is live, but pre-recorded. So pop the questions in the comments box anyway, because we will be looking at those as they come in. So keep that going. And or you can always send any questions to me and I can make sure that we ask Gwen those questions at any time in the future as well. So please feel free to interact with us. We are live but pre-recorded. So that would be a good way for you to interact with us. And then before we get going on to sort of any more specific questions, I think one of the things that can get a bit confusing is all these different terms. And even when we were talking, I use maybe the word virtual, you know, to mean a different thing than you might. Or so maybe you, as an expert, you can kind of give us an idea about these different terms that we think we know what they mean and actually we might be using them incorrectly, or give us a bit of clarity so that, and feel free to correct me throughout the show as well. If I use the words, just tell me a better word to use. I'm fine with that too. But maybe give us a few of those words before we start our questions, if that's okay.
Yeah. And it, you know, there isn't one single right word. And I think that's one of the challenges, because when one person says remote, then what do they mean? They mean, you know, some people think remote is, I never go into an office and I never interact with any of my colleagues and teammates in person. And that's not really what it means. It means that that organization has made a decision that remote working is their priority. That's their go-to way. But they still bring people together. People still interact in person. They may not have one single office that people come into every day. They may have a very flexible approach where they have access to co-working space and very local regional offices, but people still gather and come together. Then you've got hybrid working, distributed working, flexible working, which kind of all come under the same, for me, the same umbrella. I call it omni-working, where people work doing different kinds of work from different places. It may be one office, it may be their home office, it may be a satellite office, it may be a coffee shop, it may be a library, a combination of any of those things. But there are occasions during the pattern of their working week or their working month where they may go to one particular location for a set number of days or a set number of hours a week. And then
the phrase is like omnipresent, like anywhere. Is that where that word comes?
Yes. And I chose omni working because for me it was about how do you work effectively in all different ways from all different places. And that's what omni means. And so that's why I chose it as a particular phrase to position this framework around. And then you've then got people who are all full-time in the office. So they don't have an option, they don't have the flexibility. And I think it's really important to remember that a lot of business is on-site business. Hospitality, teaching, the catering trade, the hotels, manufacturing. So there's a lot of industry and a lot of businesses where the choice about location isn't up for grabs. But what we can do then is look at a different kind of flexibility, which is around scheduling flexibility, which is a flexibility which has always been present, but is perhaps forgotten in our obsession about how many days a week do we need to be in the office. So that's just a little bit of a hopeful a few phrases and explanations about what we mean by the different terms.
Yeah, thank you. And a few of my clients have that kind of half and half. So they've got the kind of manufacturing, they've got the site workers, and they've got the office workers. And then in COVID, that kind of, I know it's a while ago now, but that separation became even greater, right? Because these people are working from home or their gardens or whatever, and the other ones are, you know, so that's important. Moving on from COVID days, nowadays we're sort of 5 years down the line or whatever. What do you think is best? Some people, you know, wonder is it should be in-person meetings best or virtual meetings or hybrid meetings? What's the answer? Just tell us what's best and we'll do it. Can it be that simple?
I wish it was, but it isn't that simple because, of course, I'm going to give the classic answer. It depends.
It depends.
It depends. So there's a number of things. And when I talk to my clients and I'm advising leaders and managers, for me, it's about what are the rhythms that you set? So all organizations have cycles and rhythms of when people need to either prepare something, discuss something, agree something, generate something. So for some people, they say, okay, we come together in person, and we will have an in-person meeting for our team once a quarter. And in between that time, we will maybe have all virtual meetings. Because for us and the kind of work we do, so your sales and marketing teams are very, very different from your finance teams, which are very, very different from your marketing teams and your product development teams. So each team has a slightly different rhythm, but there's generally something around monthly and quarterly reporting, either of sales or performance in some way, shape or form. So I think that's one thing that needs to drive whether something should be in-person, virtual or hybrid. I think hybrid meetings kind of can sometimes feel a little bit like the worst of both worlds
By hybrid, that means you've got some people in an office.
Yes.
You got some people virtual.
Yes.
That's what you meant. Yep.
That's what I mean by a hybrid meeting. And that can sometimes be really challenging for everybody. Because if you're in the room together, your attention naturally is drawn to everybody else who's around the table. And if you're virtually and you've just got this camera at the end and you're seeing this long table and you can't see people's faces and you don't know who's spoken,
like a little hedge back here, isn't it?
Yeah. Then that's less than ideal as well.
Yeah.
So I always think about how easy would this topic be to discuss when we're all in the room together? If it's a particularly sensitive topic, if it's a topic where you know there may be a kind of a range of views, some disagreement, something we really need to talk about robustly together before we agree and find a way forward, that might not be the best conversation to have when you've got some people in the room and some people dialing in remotely. If your teams are geographically spread, you may not have any choice.
Yeah.
But then I would suggest that you think about, actually, are we better all being virtual? Because then we're all discussing and exploring something on the same, you know, kind of on the same level. You know, we can all see each other as that these little rectangular boxes on the screen. And so we're leveling the conversational playing field in order for us to be able to have a sense of unity and and equity of experience when we're discussing something which is important or sensitive. So
I like that phrase, equity of experience, because I was talking to you about this the other day, when the people who are virtual often aren't the leaders, right? So the leaders might be in the main place with most of the people, and then the people who are virtual generally often are maybe from a different part of the world, so that India or Asia or, you know, and so then they're already kind of left out because maybe it's their second language. Then they're not in person as much as maybe the Europeans, or so they're already feeling left out. And then, as you say, they're the ones on the screen and they can't hear everything that's going on. So you were talking a lot about that equity, weren't you? Is that most of the things that stop the equity? Are there other things I've missed there that?
It might be the middle of the night.
Oh.
You know, or really, really early in the morning. So, you know, if we're very European centric, and often that's driven by kind of a head office presence, then it means that if you're in the States, then you're getting up really, really early in the morning. If you're in Asia and APAC, you're then working really, really late at night or early in the morning, you know, the other side of midnight. So there's all of those kinds of things to consider. So my advice and guidance for leaders and managers is to be very, very thoughtful and very intentional about what you're doing and the choices you're making. And also, the other thing I encourage is, how much of your work actually, how much of your meeting work can actually be done better asynchronously, which means we're not all trying to do it at the same time. We're making use of the great technology that exists. And actually, we're perhaps doing almost like a little bit of tag team working through time zones around the world. So people are still progressing things, but we make much more use of short videos explaining. We make much more use of collaboration boards, Mural, Miro, and all of the other collaboration platforms that now exist. You know, the technology is there. And sometimes we can be a little bit hesitant to think about, how do I adopt this technology, which makes my team working much more smooth and doesn't require people to be in the same place at the same time all the time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I work closely with a lady in Sri Lanka, and we often do voice notes just on WhatsApp, because I think the voice is very important to communicate messages much better than email if they're complex. But then she can listen to it when she's ready to, but I've got it out when I'm thinking about it, and then she can read it when it's right for her. So yeah, you're absolutely right. We don't have to have a meeting in order to have that high level of interaction, do we, if we're used to it? But I guess I suppose we've got to put some agreements in place. What would you recommend for people about setting these agreements, or how does that work?
Yes. So I, at a very pragmatic level, I recommend that all teams have a team agreement, is the language that I call it. Some people call it a team charter. It's got lots of different names. But basically, it's where the team come together and they agree. And they agree things like, what are our main communication channels? You know, some people are set up on 365, and so everything will go through those channels on Teams. Some people are set up on Google. Some people everything's run through Slack. And, you know, I know some organizations who only send emails to people outside the organization. Everything is done through Slack and through their different Slack configurations and Slack channels. So that might be one element that needs to be in a team agreement. Another element that I've seen has worked really, really well for teams is agreeing core collaboration hours. So that doesn't mean that you all have to be online together at a particular point in time, but you're kind of available. You know, where we might have gone if we were all sitting together in an office in person, I might have got up from my desk and walked across to you and said, oh, Dee, have you got a minute? I just want to run this idea past you and get your thoughts on it. Well, core collaboration hours are the equivalent of that, but done virtually. And again, you can sit them within your time zones if you're across multiple countries and different parts of the world. But that's when you are available, but carrying on doing whatever work you need to do. So I encourage teams to think about identifying pockets of time where people are available for a quick chat to each other. You're not having to put endless meetings into diaries, but you're also recognizing that there's certain times either during each day or during the week, which is what I call heads down time. And it's the time that I have to concentrate on those pieces of work that really need my full focus. And I really don't want to be disturbed. So I'm going to turn off my little green light that says I'm available. And we have those quiet times because we need those quiet times, whether we're physically in the office or whether we're working from home. That's the time we get our deep thinking done. We were talking in our preparation before we started recording this about, I can't multitask, just let me focus on one thing. We can't do it. And we just keep being distracted. So we have to build some personal habits about managing our own boundaries, about notifications, about being distracted with lots of tabs open on our computer screens. So there's a lot we can do to manage our own organized self-organization, which can then feed into these team agreements. But once
I'm finding, I'm finding a lot with when I talk to executives, they find it really difficult to have that thinking time. They know it's really important, but it always seems to be, maybe since virtual meetings, there's too many meetings and then there's not enough time to think. When I look at their diaries and help them with their time management, I'm like, where's your thinking time? And there's either none, or it's sort of, they say, well, I do it out of work hours in the evening. That's probably not the best way to do it, you know? So do you find that as well, that since we've gone maybe a bit more virtual, there's more meetings and people are spending.
On an individual level, you have to be really ruthless. And also, we've got into the habit of, you know, meetings are in our diaries for half an hour or an hour. So we've got into that habit where actually perhaps something only needs to be a 10-minute conversation, but we've got half an hour booked out in the diary. So we fill the half an hour, you know, and then there's no space for anything else.
And then there's these meetings where people sit and say, well, I've just come, and they're still doing their email when they're in the meeting. Well, then surely you're not needed in the meeting, or they're just there for safety or just in case something's mentioned. I mean, you must see a lot of that.
I do. And again, there's a lot of different ways you can look at meetings. I mean, we could spend a whole day talking about meetings, but, you know, we've only got half an hour here. But just kind of, one, does it need to be a meeting? Could it have been an email or some other form of asynchronous communication? And that's the kind of stuff that needs to be agreed in team agreements. Mm-hmm. Two, permission to say no, you know? And if I don't attend the meeting, how can I find out what was discussed? We've got, you know, AI provides us with some fabulous ways of being able to find out, this is what happened in the meeting. It's all been recorded. Was my name mentioned? Are there any actions for me? No, brilliant, done. So we don't need to necessarily go to everything. We have this real fear of missing out on something important, which comes to broader team and organizational communication. All of these things are nested in together. The other thing I encourage people to do is to think about, can we have either a meeting-free day or a meeting-free half day, a couple of those a week? Because again, that doesn't mean you can't talk to anybody else. It just means you've got that thinking time. And the more senior you are in an organization, the more important that strategic headspace is. Otherwise, all you're doing is staying very operational and getting caught up in the day-to-day, when actually part of your role is about having that opportunity to stop and think and spot some patterns and think, oh, what's going on outside my organization, which may not affect me today, but actually in a few weeks or months, it's going to really start to affect us, to do that longer term strategic thinking.
You mentioned about being okay to say no or have permission to say no, which, you know, one of the areas I'm really passionate about is like mindset, helping leaders to adapt, adopt the right mindsets to help them with this? And, you know, it's all, well, you're allowed to say no, but there's a mindset thing, isn't there, about saying no? So what do you think are the top one or two mindsets, or what kind of mindsets do you think people need now with this more virtual world, with a more hybrid world than maybe they didn't have 5 years ago? What are one or two mindsets that are maybe a problem that maybe need changing, or what works best, I guess?
I think some of this, I think, is perhaps generational. So I think for those of us who are more mature in years,
that's us, surely,
is to actually not be frightened of the technology, because it's really easy to kind of go, oh, this is all new, it's all a bit scary, I'm going to have to change some of the things I've been doing before. And I encourage people to have the mindset of being curious and experimenting. We're going to get it wrong. You know, everybody gets things wrong when we're trying to learn how to do something new and different.
Yeah.
So I think as a leader and a manager, one of the best things you can do is to role model being experimental, knowing you're not going to get things right first time. And that does require, if you're somebody who relies on your knowledge and expertise as being something that you value and you feel you are valued because I'm an expert in marketing or I'm an expert in finance, to admit you don't know something, you know, is kind of, that can be quite a big step for some people. So I think being curious and embracing new things, and AI is probably the biggest new thing that we're all being encouraged to embrace, an experiment. I think that's one sort of mindset cluster. And I think the other one is to get much, much better at asking questions and dial back on giving people the answers.
That's always a great approach, isn't it? Like not having all the answers yourself. And I think this generational thing, as the younger people in the organization are maybe more likely to be embracing AI and these things going forward, you're not going to, you know, unless you're literally playing with AI in the evenings, you're probably going to be way behind quite quickly if you're not already anyway. So asking the right questions means you don't have to have the answers. And I think we'll probably have to get you back on to talk about everything about AI in the future as well, because that's a whole, I haven't even had time to ask you about that. But I mean, that's a fascinating topic and is going to change everything super quickly as well. But we're kind of coming towards the end of our little debrief overview now. But before we finish, is there one quick thing that I haven't asked you that you, even if you don't answer, that you think, oh, we'll talk about this another time and on another show maybe? Or is there anything quick that I haven't asked you that I maybe have missed out on? I know there's absolutely tons.
There is. And I'm just kind of scanning through. I think for me, there are two things. One, we've already talked about around AI. And you know, I always talk about how can we remain very relationally and human-centric, because at the end of the day, we're human beings. We need connection. We need a sense of purpose. We want to be able to contribute at work. I'm going to come right back to the beginning. And I want work to be a really good, positive, empowering experience for everybody. Mm. And yet, how do we remain human and relational whilst being enabled by the technology and AI? So I think that for me is a very, very rich topic, that we're not being overwhelmed by AI. And then I think the other one is just being aware of the kind of the trends about how people want to engage with this thing called work, because it's different to people's different life stages. You know, the world has changed so much that we're not retiring now when we're 60 or 65. You know, we're much healthier, we're working longer, we want to continue to be able to contribute. And so we are having now five, soon to be six generations within organizations. Wow. And I think there's one of the big supermarket chains whose youngest employee is 16 and their eldest is 90.
Wow.
So how do you, you know, how do you manage that from a communication perspective, from, yeah. you know, keeping people being able to stay involved and engaged and contribute? So I think that's a really fascinating challenge, because we want and need different things from work at different stages of our lives. And so how do leaders and managers and organizations respond to those different life stages? You know, for me, that's another really fascinating area and another fascinating topic, maybe for another day.
Yeah, sounds like we need 27 at least more debriefs to explore these topics. That's fascinating. And we haven't talked about your doctorate. We haven't talked about lots of things. But if people would like to know more, where do they contact you? You're on LinkedIn. Where do they get hold of you if they'd like to know more about
you? The best way is to get in touch with me on LinkedIn. I have a couple of webs, Sandy, and I'm sure you can put the details of that in the show notes that go along with the recording. But just contact me on LinkedIn, Gwen Sterling Wilkie, and it would be great to hear from people. And I'm more than happy to answer any questions that people may have as a result of you know, watching and listening to our conversation this morning.
Brilliant. So please do pop in the comments to this recording any questions that you have. Ask Gwen, Dr. Gwen, as she is now, on LinkedIn. That'd be fabulous. So as in traditional style, it's important for my listeners to take some action. I think it's great to listen to this stuff. And I know we're moving towards the end now, but just time to take action. So one question that we want to leave you with, it really is about reflecting on how you can reimagine your meetings. So whatever meetings means to you, but just think about how you can reimagine your meetings and bring something new, inclusive, and improve the efficiency of those meetings. So that's our challenge, isn't it?
It is. And good luck with it, because there's lots up for scope there. Lots to do.
Yeah. There's some quick wins. I'm sure there's some quick wins.
Loads of quick wins that people can do. Yeah.
Brilliant. As always, I would love to invite you to join the Debrief newsletter, and that's on LinkedIn. So what you need to do is just scan this QR code. Let me just maybe pop that up as the main screen so that you can scan that and see that. And you can just join the newsletter and you'll find more. The Debrief show notes from today will be in the next newsletter after this show, and it will tell you about future episodes as well. And if you've enjoyed this, then please do share this show, these notes, whatever you get, please do share them with your colleagues and friends. That'd be brilliant. And next time, we're going to cover why your succession plan might fail and you don't even know about it. I'm talking to the wonderful Susanna Braid-Waring, whose name hasn't updated on the slides for some reason. Apologies for that, Susanna, but she's wonderful, and it would be great for you to join us in that session, which would be great. So looking forward to that. So thank you so much, Gwen, for joining us today. It's been fascinating talking to you, and I'm really looking forward to hearing people's questions and having a look at some of those answers so we can go into more detail. But I know it's just been a brief overview, but thank you so much for joining us today. And I know our listeners will be just fascinated by everything that you've covered today. So thank you so much.
My pleasure, Dee. It's been lovely to chat to you.
Lovely to speak to you. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
We really appreciate you joining us, so thank you for listening into the show. You'll find more information in the show notes, and if you want to listen to more episodes, please do. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And if you want to watch us in action, you'll find us on YouTube. Just search for my channel, Dee Clayton, and look for the Debrief shows. Thanks for joining us then, and until next time, keep bringing out the best in yourself, your teams, and your communications.